Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants.
Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs, the Healing Scripture CD, books, and more. This week, we are going to take a closer look at the Church of Philadelphia. Last week, we looked at the Church of Ephesus, and of course, these are the churches or assemblies in the book of Revelation. So I'm going to start by playing the ending clip of last week's program, and if you didn't listen to that program, please go to our website, www.hiswordheals.com, and go to our blog page. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works, which is what he tells every one of the churches. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. So they evidently have good works. And no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, or tribulation, or testing, which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my Elohim, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my Elohim and the name of the city of my Elohim, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my Elohim. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches or assemblies. Compare that message to the message of the Church of Ephesus. Evidently, the Church of Philadelphia has good works. Nothing bad was said about them. The Church of Ephesus also had good works, and those good works were listed. The only thing bad said about the Church of Ephesus was that they had left, or that we have left, our first love. Remember, therefore, from where we have fallen, repent and do the first works. This was not told to the Church of Philadelphia. The name Philadelphia is actually a Greek word that is used in other places in Scripture and means brotherly love. The name of the Church Philadelphia in the Greek Strong's is 5359, and that says from Philadelphos, the same as 5361, Philadelphia, a place in Asia Minor. So it's the same as 5361, which says that is made up of two Greek words from 5384 and G80, and it means fond of brethren, fraternal. 5384, Philos, means actively fond, a friend, properly dear. And G80, Adiphos, says from G1 as a connective particle, and Delphus, the womb, a brother, literally or figuratively, near or remote, much like G1. And last of all, G1 says Alpha, of Hebrew origin, the first letter of the alphabet. So if we put all of those together, Philo means affection or kindness, and Delphos is brother, so it's brotherly kindness or brotherly affection, but it also has a connection with the Hebrew Aleph, meaning first. So is this the first love and the first works, the love that the Church of Ephesus has left? This word is actually found in several other verses in the New Testament. So I believe that these verses give us a real look at what the Church of Philadelphia was doing right, and by extension, what the Church of Ephesus was lacking, or should I say, is lacking, and why the Church of Philadelphia is going to be kept from the hour of trial, from the great tribulation that will come upon the whole earth. One last thing about the Strongs, whereas G5359 is the name Philadelphia, G5360 is also Philadelphia, but is translated brotherly love. So 5359 is only found in two places in the Book of Revelation regarding the name of the Church of Philadelphia, and 5360 and 5361 are found in several other verses throughout the New Testament. So first, let's look at 5360. We're going to read Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, 1 Peter 1, verses 22 and 23, and 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 11. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Next, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by Elohim to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Next, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, or brotherly love, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of Elohim, which lives and abides forever. And the last verse, which has 5360 Philadelphia in it for brotherly love, is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Elohim and of Yeshua our Master, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness or brotherly love, and to brotherly kindness or brotherly love, which is Philadelphia, add love, which is agape love. So philos is a form of kindness love, and agape love is one step above that. And so these are the works that we are to grow in, right here outlined in 2 Peter. When we start out as believers, when we're reborn in Yeshua Messiah, we are born with faith. Then here we're told to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, studying his word, and to knowledge of his word, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, and both the Church of Ephesus and the Church of Philadelphia are told that they persevere, and so are several of the other churches, to perseverance, godliness. Godliness is doing and behaving the way that we learn to through the knowledge of his word. A step above godliness is brotherly kindness. And then at the very top, above brotherly kindness is brotherly love. But brotherly kindness is the Philadelphia love. And the love that is above brotherly kindness is agape. It is the kind of love, the selfless love that Yeshua gave to us. So evidently the Church of Philadelphia is at least at this second from the top tier of brotherly kindness or Philadelphia. Remember, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8 tells us, And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. The Church of Philadelphia is only commended and receives no chastisement or correction from Yeshua. Now let's read the one verse that has G5361 Philadelphos, which is where 5359 and 5360 come from, and that is 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 through 10. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers or brotherly love, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit blessing. And actually, we're going to read through verse 12. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of Yahweh are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of Yahweh is against those who do evil. So I believe this passage tells us what brotherly kindness or Philadelphia looks like. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. And isn't that what Yeshua did? When he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He returned blessing for the evil that they were doing to him. That is agape love. Before I move on to the Church of Smyrna, which is what we're going to talk about next, I do want to emphasize, though, this progression from faith to agape. It includes knowledge of the Torah and includes godliness, which is living out knowledge of the Torah. And Yahweh does not expect us to overnight go from being born again faith to agape love. It is a process. It is the process of sanctification, but it's what we all should be striving for. And the Church of Ephesus had these good works, but they were lacking their first love they had left. But Philadelphia was not lacking any of it. They were commended for their works, and also they were named for their brotherly kindness. Now let's move along to the Church of Smyrna. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. There's not a lot said about this church. Verse 8, and to the angel or the messenger of the Church of Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works. So they had good works, because he doesn't say they had any bad works. He knows their works, and those works are what I just read to you. Tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. The Church of Smyrna is promised to go into tribulation. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches or the assemblies. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So again, Yeshua cites the works of this church or this assembly. And it's interesting to note here that all three of these churches are told that they are having to deal with somebody or some group of people who are lying. The Church of Ephesus is told, you have tested those who say they are apostles or sent out ones, meaning sent out from the Jews, and are not, and have found them liars. Then the Church of Philadelphia is told, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. And I also forgot to tell you that I believe I also like to call the Church of Philadelphia the Joseph Church, because if you think about it, Joseph had a lot of brotherly love. He had the power to punish, to actually kill his brothers for what they did to him. And according to the Torah, he rightfully could have done that. And according to the laws of Egypt, he could have done that. But what did he choose to do instead? He didn't let them off. He tested them and he waited for them to repent. But once they repented, he loved them and forgave them, and he did not destroy them as was his right to do. That is brotherly love. Instead, he took care of them. He gave them gifts. He blessed them and he provided for them. And what did his brothers have to do? What did Joseph's dream say that his brothers would do, and they ultimately did do? They came and worshiped before him. They bowed before his feet, and Yahweh made sure that they knew that he loved Joseph, just as Jacob also loved Joseph. And so the Church of Philadelphia is told, those who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet. Then also, like the other two churches, in verse 9, the church of Smyrna is told, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So these three churches, Ephesus, Philadelphia, and Smyrna, have in common that they are having to deal with groups of people that are lying. And Yeshua tells all three churches or assemblies that he knows their works. And two of the churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, are not told that they have any bad works. They're not reprimanded for anything, while the church of Ephesus is only told to repent and return to their first works and that they have left their first love. Then the church of Philadelphia is told or promised that they will be kept from the hour of trial that will come upon the entire earth, while the church of Smyrna, who also has nothing that they are reprimanded for, is promised that they will actually go into tribulation for 10 days and that they are to be faithful even unto death. Remember that we are told to pray always that we would be counted worthy to escape these things that are about to come upon the earth. So perhaps we should be praying that we are part of the assembly of Philadelphia, and we should be striving to that tier of agape just beyond brotherly love. One last thing about the Church of Smyrna that's interesting. Smyrna's root word actually goes back to the word myrrh, which is the herb or anointing oil for embalming. So it has to do with death. And this church is told to be faithful even unto death. And Yeshua is introduced to this church as the first and the last who was dead and came to life. And so the Church of Smyrna, its name actually is connected with myrrh, that is connected with embalming and is connected with death. And the closing promise to the church or assembly of Smyrna is, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. The takeaway from today's message is that we are to strive for brotherly kindness and brotherly love, agape love, while not forgetting to come to the knowledge of Torah and to conform ourselves to godliness, to walk even as he walked. These are all levels. We don't do one without the other. We progress. Again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith, your born-again faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, and of course that would be the knowledge of the Torah. We're supposed to study the Torah, and to the knowledge of the Torah, self-control. We control our flesh according to the knowledge that we gain from the Torah. To self-control, perseverance. We don't give up even when it's difficult to follow the Torah and to have self-control. We persevere, and in my opinion, that would be repenting every time that we mess up. Repent and just keep pushing forward to perfection. Then to perseverance, godliness. And godliness is behaving the way that we're taught through knowledge in the Torah. And that includes, again, self-control and persevering in self-control. We strive to make ourselves over into the image of Yeshua, following and living as he lived, walking as he walked. That would be godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, or Philadelphia. And then finally, to brotherly kindness, love. So we don't just throw out the knowledge of the Torah. We don't throw out self-control according to the Torah and persevering in the Torah and just go straight to love. No, love is a step above that. I just think that all bears repeating. Those should be our goals, and none of us starts out at the top, but we need to push forward and not forget our first love. And our first love came before, but way back there with our faith. We started out with faith and faith in the fact that Yeshua, our Messiah, loves us, and then we loved him back because he first loved us. The warning to the church at Ephesus sounds possibly like a warning to Hebrew roots in general. Haven't we, maybe not specifically us, but haven't we as a whole quit the first works of evangelizing or telling the simple good news of salvation to the lost and dying world? The good news starts with salvation, then gains knowledge of the Torah, but the ultimate goal is Philadelphia, or brotherly kindness and love, and then agape love, the love that Yeshua had for us when he laid down his life. This progression in 2 Peter leads to a sure entry into his everlasting kingdom, as Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1, verse 11. Next week, we're going to look at the compromising church, Pergamos, and the corrupt church, Thyatira, and compare those to the three churches we've already looked at. Let's read the passages about those two churches real quick. Revelation 2, starting in verse 12. And to the angel or messenger of the church in Pergamos write, "These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you." So they had some really good things going for them, but he has a few things against them. "Because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, These things says the Son of Elohim, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first." So they've got some good things going for them too. "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast to what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now consider, these are two of the seven churches or assemblies of believers that are addressed by John, by Yeshua actually, through John. And there are several good things told about each church to them, and they are commended for good things. But what are they told to repent of? Eating things sacrificed to idols and committing sexual immorality. Both of them eat things sacrificed to idols and have sexual immorality in the congregations. Does this sound familiar at all? Could this be speaking to any modern day churches that we know of? Absolutely. And we'll take a more in-depth look at this next week.
I shout for joy at the works of your hands. O Yahweh, how great are your works!